Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Special funding for the podcast of On Point is provided by Boston University School of Law, dedicated to excellence in teaching and to preparing our graduates to hit the ground running.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
I'll be the toast of Chichi Castanango, and all day long my castanet will click.
Broadway legend Cheetah Rivera has been singing, dancing, and soaking up the applause for more than half a century now. From West Side Story to Bye Bye Birdie to Chicago to Kiss of the Spider Woman, Cheetah Rivera has originated some of the most memorable characters in the Broadway canon. She started life as Conchita. At 76, she's a Presidential Medal of Freedom winner and a star in full. This hour on Point, Cheetah Rivera and a performer's life. Joining me now from New York City is Cheetah Rivera. She originated the roles of Anita in West Side Story, Velma in Chicago, Rosie in Bye Bye Birdie, and Aurora in Kiss of the Spider Woman. She's a two-time Tony Award winner for Best Actress in a Musical and has been nominated for 9 Tonys. In 2002, she was the first Hispanic American ever to win Kennedy Center honors. Last month, President Barack Obama awarded her the Presidential Medal of Freedom. She recently starred in the Broadway and touring productions of Cheetah Rivera, The Dancer's Life. In January, she will begin touring at 76 with Cheetah Rivera, My Broadway. Her new solo studio album, And Now I Swing, will be released next month. Cheetah Rivera, welcome to On Point. Wonderful to have you.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. It's no kidding.
Wow.
You lived it. You did it. You made it. Wow, I say.
Tom, first of all, thank you for having me. It's great. It's great to be here. You know, you live your life and you pray to God that everything goes well and you're able to do what you'd love to do and what you're doing that you do well. And then all of a sudden, these wonderful things happen to you, and you don't realize anything. You just know that you like to do, you love your passion, and you do it, and you hope you do it well, and you just don't expect the wonderful things that have happened to me. I'm a lucky gal.
Well, a lucky gal, but you've made wonderful things happen for an awful lot of people watching. I mean, people look at you on the stage, and you have that thing. You have that can't-pull-your-eyes-away thing. Do you know what it is when you turn it on? Do you know it? Do you play us like a top?
That's so good. Actually, I know that I love what I'm doing. I know that I love to do it for you. I know that I get a lot of wonderful gratification that comes from the audience. You know, it's like putting a plug in a socket and the lights go on, mm-hmm. and you know you've connected. It's, you know, being in the theater is communication. And when you've communicated the way you'd like to, it's a thrill. I just met a woman in the elevator today, and when she said to me, "Congratulations on the medal."
Yeah. Congratulations from us as well.
Oh, my God, thank you. I mean, that's something I really can't quite believe, but I'm sure we'll talk about it later.
Yep.
But she looked at me and she said, "You know, you created that." And I went, "I did?" You know, it's been very – the theater has been wonderful to me. My life has been very fulfilling with family and with the theater and meeting amazing creative people that have allowed me to do whatever it is that I've done.
And we see that start to back, whether it's Leonard Bernstein or Jerome Robbins or Bob Fosse, and right on down. I mean, you seem to have worked with – the whole pantheon.
Yeah, I came along at a great time. You know, I wish so much of this on the kids coming along today, you know, to work with really brilliant people and to take their work very, very seriously and not think about the awards or rewards, just do what they love to do.
Here, the New York Times talking about your ability to rivet the eye with the flare of a calf muscle. Ooh, that's hot. But you know, they go on. The enduringly seductive Ms. Rivera, now 76, still has the voice, the attitude, and, oh, yes, the legs to magnetize all eyes in an audience.
Well, I just don't even understand
Madam.
That 76 business. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know what that is. And, you know, I'm just not going to stop and think about it. I'm just going to keep, as Gwen Verdon used to say, picking them up and putting them down.
Take us back to the other end of that, Che Rivera. I read a story somewhere where Balanchine himself came, saw you dancing ballet, and if I read it right, I'm trying to remember, kneeled down to put a Band-Aid on a blister on your foot when you were 15, or I don't know what the age was. Where did this begin?
Well, I was in a wonderful, wonderful school in Washington, D.C., and my mother got me out of the house because I was breaking up the furniture. I was a tomboy. I couldn't keep my feet on the ground. I kept jumping from sofa to chair and da-da.
Go dance.
So she, and so she put me in school at Doris Jones School of Ballet, and she was from Boston, actually. Mm-hmm. She was a brilliant, wonderful black teacher who was a beautiful dancer herself. So she opened the school. I get in it, and one day after several years, someone from New York City came in to take a look at the kids, to see about scholarship students. And this friend of mine that I've had since those days, Lewis Johnson, who was actually, before Arthur Mitchell, he was actually the first black dancer to be with New York City Ballet. So we got this scholarship, these scholarships. And my mother, being the wonderful woman she was, and recognizing what was really best for her kids. There are five of us. She, alone, Daddy died when we were young. She, you know, packed me up. She went to New York and met a family, and I was put in this family. So Miss Jones had something to do with that, and I went to the School of American Ballet. So after
the premier
that,
school in the country at that time for
yes,
young.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, but when I went in, Mr. Balanchine, thank God I didn't know who he was. And so I was in my little pink tights and leotard and everything and my point shoes, and I was doing what I was asked to do. And I looked down and there was this blood on my heel, and it was, I was very embarrassed because I didn't want to stop the flow of anything. Yeah. And those were the days when everybody was obedient. We did exactly what we were told and wouldn't speak at all. Just, what do you want me to do? And he sent out for a Band-Aid. And now I look back at, you know, at that, and you know, he said, put your foot on my knee. And I did, and there was Mr. Balanchine. I had no idea. Putting a Band-Aid, cutting away the tight and putting a Band-Aid on my heel. So it's a very
it's auspicious.
Yes.
You know, I wonder, as you describe that, Che Rivera, your father was a clarinetist and saxophonist for the U.S. Navy Band, Puerto Rican. Your mother's described as Scottish and Italian. You know, you were described
all Scottish and Irish.
And Irish, excuse
not
me.
Italian.
Okay. You've been, sort of categorized, if that's the right or wrong word, I'm not sure, through life as a Hispanic American actress, you know, all of that and more than that. But in the 1950s, what did that mean to you? Was your teacher African American because you were Hispanic? Were those related or just happenstance in Washington at that time?
It was. I guess we were close to the school. Mm-hmm. It just happened. It's fate, you know. We didn't think about anything like that, you know. We just gave it no thought whatsoever. I just remember Miss Jones saying, you know, just stay in your lane, which is what Fred Ebb told me years later. Stay in your lane and just do what you feel. Do as you're told and do what you feel.
What did that mean,
stay in your lane? Well, it meant focus on what your intentions are. Focus on you. Don't look around and see some absolutely beautiful, tall, thin, blonde, beautiful, blue-eyed, completely different look from me. Because I'm much shorter than people think I am. But I tell the kids today, think tall. Think presence, you know.
You look tall on stage, madam, I have to tell you.
I have lied for so many years. I remember standing in that chorus line next to my very best girlfriend to this very day, Dee Dee Wood. She and her husband created Sound of Music, Mary Poppins. They choreographed some of the great, not too bad. And she lives in Arizona. She's still my best friend, and we talk to each other at least once a week. But standing next to her in an audition, I remember lying. I remember trying to stretch my neck because she was tall, blonde, gorgeous, and she was like 5'8" or something, and I was 5'3½", and I lied and said 5'4". You know, what a big deal, you know. But she was she seemed like a mountain next to me. So, you know, I don't know.
Did you ever want to be that? Did you want to be the corn tassel girl in Oklahoma?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. And I never really, until I realized that I was being given constantly the red dress with the split up the front. You know what I mean? I never realized that there was really much difference, you know, because I was busy feeling the beat, busy being comical because I love to laugh and I love to make people laugh. And I never got the funny part. I always got that, you know, that other woman or the sexy part, or which I later, you know, grew to embrace.
I like the shores of America. Cardboard is yours in America. Now the door in America. Wall to wall roars in America.
And I want to get right to some of our callers, if we may, Cheetah, a lot to want to speak with you. Frank, in New York City, you're on the air with Cheetah Rivera.
Hi. Hi, Tom. Hi, Cheetah. How are you?
Hi. Fine. Great. Thanks.
I just wanted to say, when I was a kid, I used to sneak into the city from Long Island, and I was like 11 or 12, and I would sneak away and get to the train and just walk around and look at all the Broadway theaters.
Yeah.
Because I was fascinated with it, even though I'd never been to a show. And you were in the Rink at the time with Liza Minnelli, and you gave me your autograph. It was Wednesday.
You didn't even know who I was, did you, Frank?
I did, because of the West Side Story album that we had in the house. And it stuck with me for so many years, and I never forgot it. And I ended up, you know, being bitten by the bug and staying in the business, and ended up going to drama school at Yale, first at SUNY Purchase and then at Yale. And it was such a big deal for me because my dad was a janitor and my mother worked in a factory. Nobody had gone to school or had even really, I mean, I remember them talking about Lena Horne in Jamaica. That was such a big deal that they had seen one show years ago.
And there was Cheetah Rivera as your inspiration, and what a big boost.
And moments like that, where somebody just takes a second.
That's right.
Stick with you forever.
That's
right. You know, and it's just, I had that story for the rest of my life. And I don't know, it's such an inspiration because it hasn't been an easy road for me, being such an Italian guy, even with like the Yale degree. I'm still the mafia guy who auditions for the three line parts, you know?
Yeah.
But seeing somebody come up then, when it was even worse.
Yeah. Well, my ex-husband, Tony Mordenti, was one of the greatest dancers, and he directed many television shows. But he is an Italian guy, and he didn't have any problems with it, because actually his mother snuck him out so that Pop wouldn't know he was taking dance lessons, you know. But, you know, can you imagine an Italian dancer? You know, that was really dangerous.
You met him in West Side Story, right? He was one of the dancers. He was a jet or a shark? I don't remember.
He was a jet. I mean, we weren't supposed to even talk to the jets. And what did I do? I married one.
And when that show originally went to London, they were so determined to have you that, though, as I recall, you were pregnant, they waited to open the show in London until you'd had your baby and we're ready to dance and sing.
Yeah, yeah. Have we said goodbye to Frank? Goodbye, Frank.
Frank, thanks very much for calling.
Thank you. Binky, Hugh Beaumont of Tennant's in London years ago, great impresario. He waited, and I was back up in West Side after 4 weeks, and Tony and Lisa and I just took off and went to London and did West Side in London. It was really exciting.
We're going to hear a little tape here from President Barack Obama at the Medal of Freedom ceremony, August 12th, just a month ago or so. And he's going to begin this with a recitation of your full name. This is a man who knows what it's like to have an unusual name. And by that, I don't mean Cheetah Rivera. Give us the backdrop on this. I know you've told the story a million times, but, you know, your name has had some evolution, shall we say, from birth to stage.
Right. Well, you know, Latins, we keep holding on to the names of the family. And my real name is Dolores Conchita Figueroa de Rivero. Actually, it's longer than that. But then when I came to New York, Miss Jones used to call me Conchita. And so when I came to New York, it was Conchita de Rivero. Then when I did Shoestring Review, the producer said, you know, we can't get that on the marquee. Can you do something about that? So my dancer, my partner, and I went across the street to the Italian restaurant and said, what do we do? And I said, well, people call me Cheetah, and I'd like for it to sound at least rhythmical, like Cheetah, ta-ta-ta, Cheetah, ta-ta-ta. And I said, it's got to flow like that. So then I said, I love Maureen O'Hara. I just think she's the epitome of the female. She's got those green eyes and that red fiery hair, and she's strong, and she's feminine, and she can take care of herself, yet she wants to take care of the children, and them, and she can have a fight with a guy, you know?
Yeah, just, all that. And mom was Irish, so what the heck?
That's exactly. I guess, you know, you said that. Darn it, I never connected. And so I went, Cheetah O'Hara. And Arthur said, that's great. So we went across.
But it doesn't ring a bell.
And so I for 2 days, I was Cheetah O'Hara. My phone would ring, and my friends would go, Cheetah O'Hara, click, and they'd hang up. So I said to Arthur, something's wrong. So I said, why don't we just take the O off off Rivero and put an A, Cheetah Rivera. And that kind of flows into something. So that's what it's been.
And Broadway got a name. On August 12th, President Barack Obama was reciting that name as he awarded Cheetah Rivera the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Let's listen for just a minute. This is the country's highest civilian honor.
Dolores Conchita Figueroa del Rivero knows the adversity that comes with a difficult name. I can relate. Known to the world by the name that has lit up Broadway marquees, Cheetah Rivera's career had an improbable start. Accompanying a nervous classmate on an audition, she decided to audition herself and impressed the choreographer Jerome Robbins, who would make her famous as Anita in West Side Story. Sassy, electric, that rare performer who can sing, dance, and act, Cheetah Rivera revealed that still rarer ability to overcome. When she recovered from a car accident that shattered her leg, she ended up retaking the stage, won a Tony for Kiss of the Spider-Woman. And like her unforgettable Anita, Cheetah Rivera has shown that life can indeed be bright in America.
Barack Obama, August 12th, at the Presidential Medal of Freedom ceremony for Cheetah Rivera. What was it like for you standing there? Here you are, a star in full, and now a hero of the nation.
You know, you don't know. You just are grateful that you have the opportunity. But I have to tell you, just about everybody that I was sitting up there with, I admired so much, and I always wanted to meet. And when I walked into the room and saw Desmond Tutu, I mean, and then you think, did they make a mistake? You know, is the phone going to ring? And hearing the president, you know, I'm so happy you played that, because I couldn't hear a lot of it because I was kind of numb, know, I was kind of numb. And just then I heard it clearly. And I'm just still in awe. I wore my pin today because my first phone call was from Bill Cosby, as it usually is when I had my car accident. My first call was from Bill Cosby. Right. And he gave me a lecture, and he said, "You wear that medal every time you leave that house. Do you hear me?" And I said, "Oh, okay." And it's so unlike me,
yeah,
because as big as I am on stage, I just moved to the back in real life. And so, you know, I've been thinking about it, and I've been bloody wearing it, I'm telling you. And I said, I'm even going to wear it when I take the garbage down on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Well, that's taking it everywhere. I want to take you back a little bit to some more of that early, of course, to that Anita role that President Obama mentioned there, and people always remember you for. If we could just listen to just a little bit, I want to talk with you about originating roles, because you have been a great originator of roles. Here is that moment from Chita Rivera's Big Break, her role as Anita in the original cast of West Side Story. This is A Boy Like That, where Anita confronts Maria, who's in love with Tony, the man who killed Anita's boyfriend, Bernardo.
A boy like that would kill your brother. Forget that boy and find another. One of your own kind. Stick to your own kind. A boy like that will bring you sorrow. You'll meet another boy tomorrow. One of your own kind. Stick to your own kind. A boy who kills cannot love. A boy who kills has no heart. And he's the boy. Get your love and get your heart. Very smart, very smart.
Anita, Chita Rivera as Anita there, 1957?
Yeah.
Okay, here you are. You, whether it was in Chicago, you originated Velma. Of course, Catherine Zeta-Jones did it in the movies. Bye Bye Birdie Rosie, Janet Leigh in the movies. West Side Story, Anita, Rita Moreno in the movies. But you were the first to do these, and I wish you'd take us back to how that happens. It's another thing entirely, I would think, to do a role once somebody else has begun to lay down the tracks. But you lay down the tracks, and in this case, with Leonard Bernstein.
Well, I tell you, that's the thing I also tell the kids. Don't be upset about not getting a film or anything like that. When you breathe the first bit of air, life, mm-hmm, into a character, when you're in that room with the people that are creating it, and you do what they tell you to do, it's the most inspiring feeling. It's an amazing feeling to go through that whole process, and you're all in that those just the empty room with, mm-hmm, the bar around it,
right,
and maybe a chair here or but it's all you and the creative team, and you can have anything after that. I know the feeling of making her come alive.
You told the Washington Post a few years ago that you didn't really consider yourself much of a singer when you came into West Side Story.
Oh, no dancers. No. You still, once you're a dancer, but the kids today, they really sing, you know. That. Mm. But, you know, in those days we were dancers. Lee Becker Theodore, who did the original Anybody's, who was brilliant, she said, you know, she didn't go to a certain audition with me. She said, you have to sing, and dancers don't sing. Dancers dance, singers sing. Mm. That's what we thought years and years ago. But I was curious, and there was something about me that wanted to step through that door if it was cracked just a little bit. And so I'm glad I didn't listen to Lee, but it's quite an amazing feeling to hear the director and the choreographer say, "That's right." I'll never forget Jerry taking me out of a rehearsal. Jerry Robbins taking, mm-hmm, me out of a rehearsal, and I couldn't imagine what he wanted, and he said, "Just sit down here," and the Jets were going through the cha-cha, which, mm-hmm, is the such a beautiful moment. And he knew that my emotions were so close to the top of my soul that he said, just look at this. And I looked at it, and I could not believe how close to Shakespeare, how perfect this was. And I started to cry, you know. And when it was over, he looked at me, and he said, okay, that's all I want to know. And he said, go back to your rehearsal. And I went, what? You know, and he just wanted to see if it was moving, if it was. Mm-hmm. And I guess he used me, which is an unbelievable, I can't believe I'm telling this story, right? An unbelievable barometer, because yeah. Who the heck am I? I mean, you still say today, who the heck are you? You know, when I'm reminded, such as this show, and hearing the way you put it all together, It's a wonderful compliment to me. I thank you very much.
Well, who the heck are you? I'd say you're a person who's pretty alive to the moment. I'd say he chose his barometer pretty well there. Cheetah Rivera is with us. Let's get a call from Marlene in West Hartford, Connecticut. Marlene, you're on the air with Cheetah Rivera.
Hello, Cheetah.
Hi, Marlene.
I am so glad to talk to you again. I have spoken to you before in my lifetime.
Oh, well, this is nice.
And I have seen you several times. First of all... My husband and I were at the world premiere in Washington, D.C. Was it November 1957?
That's right.
A West Side Story.
A West Side Story.
Wow. Yes,
right.
Indeed. We were in the audience.
Fantastic.
We were so excited. We came home and knocked on doors of friends in the neighborhood saying, don't wait for the morning papers to come out. As soon as they do, it's going to be impossible to see the new show at the National Theater.
Yes, exactly.
Am I correct with the name of the
Absolutely.
Theater?
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
A year or two older than you, so.
It's a long time ago now, fair enough.
Things. But this made such an impression on us. We adored
Wonderful.
West Side Story.
And Wonderful.
I still have friends who remember that we told them to run down first thing in the morning and get in line to get tickets, and they did, and nobody else was able to get in. Okay, a year later, my husband and I and two babies were living in England for the year.
Oh.
That was 1958.
Right.
And
wow.
We had been invited out by so many people over the year. And when West Side Story came with you in it again to London.
With my baby.
We got a whole crew together and bought out a row of seats and took all our friends to see it.
Oh,
okay.
My goodness.
Double header there.
That was a double header. One more.
Yeah.
One more. My children were very young. The oldest wasn't even two.
And right.
The one younger. So we had put off sightseeing with them in London the whole year we were there.
Right.
But we thought maybe if we take them to see the changing of the guard, at least the older one might have some distant memories of it. And we're standing there in the crowd, and I'm nudging my husband. That's Cheetah Rivera.
She's everywhere.
That's not the Queen of England.
Go over and come on, you're dying to talk to her. Go on. And I did, and you got all excited when I told you I had seen you for the second time on the stage. And you said, wait, you got to meet my husband. I hear he's no longer here. I've been listening.
So it's a triple header there, Marlene. And we've got it. Lots of intersection points. And over lots of years, Cheetah, there's a lot more we want to hear. We're so glad you're with us.
Thank you, Marlene.
Yes, Marlene, thank you for calling. Here's Nowadays from Chicago. Broadway legend Cheetah Rivera is with us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Marry Harry, but mess around with Ike. And that's good. Isn't it grand? Isn't it great?
Really gave a damn, you'd have never stayed away. When you break a mother's heart, does it make a guru's day? But you're nearly 30 now, and you're panicked and upset, so you walk back in the door and expect me to forget. Welcome home, my little pig, for you've really got a big set of balls.
Ma!
Some balls.
Ma!
And don't...
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with Broadway legend Cheetah Rivera about a life in song and dance. She was there for West Side Story when it opened in 1957. She was there last month in the White House with President Obama to be awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Behind us, right here, Don't Ah Ma Me from The Rink. She won one of her Tonys for that many nominations. Chita Rivera joins us from New York. Chita, I got to ask you about a couple of things here. One is, just in the last few weeks, we've lost two quite amazing dancers. Michael Jackson was one, and then just yesterday, Patrick Swayze. And we lost them young. I don't know if you follow the careers of younger dancers, of dancers who dance in different arena from you, not really so much Broadway.
Of course.
What are your thoughts on these two quite amazing dancers?
Well, it's just quite amazing human beings. I've always been in awe of Michael Jackson. I mean, tremendous fan of his, and certainly of Patrick also, and his wonderful mother who has a school, you know. Mm. And he's lived a wonderful life with his wife, and it's just terribly sad. There isn't anything one can say. You have your life, and I've always believed it's probably planned for you anyhow. You just have to get in your life and live it as well as you can. I've always respected both of those gentlemen. We've lost two enormous talents far, far too soon. But
Patrick Swayze danced in many arenas. Michael Jackson was mainly in the pop music world. And a colleague was saying this morning, as we were thinking about talking with you, wouldn't Michael Jackson have been something on Broadway?
Oh, he could do anything. He could do absolutely anything. He was pure. There's nobody like him. There'll never ever be anybody like him. He was just taken to. Much too soon.
But what about the endurance part? That's the one thing we were wondering. I mean, I know a pop tour is no small act of endurance, but one of the things that you're fabled for, and you're called a pro's pro because of, is that you know, year after year on Broadway, where it's not, you know, once for the video and done, it's again and again and again. Is that a different kind of energy?
Energy is energy. I tell the kids all the time, you just have to be ready. At all times, you have to take care of yourself. It is not always a barrel of fun. Mm-hmm. You have to eat properly. You have to sleep properly. You know, you're growing up, so you're gonna make gonna test the waters in all sorts of ways. But you really have to take care of yourself and try to stay as healthy as possible. Try not to take yourself too seriously. Just your work you have to take seriously, and it's just too sad.
Do you see younger dancers today approaching dance in a different way? Maybe because we're in a media era where they see all kinds of dance all the time, not just what the teacher lays out for them. Or I don't know why, but is there a different approach to dance now?
The approach has got to be the same, really. Mm-hmm. How you take it and what you do with it is something else. Dance has to be. You really have to take your classes. You really have to keep your body strong. You really have to. So that's not going to change. Ballet is the basic form, and you got to take your ballet classes. I think I'm still strong, thank God, because I didn't let anything else come in the way, you know.
Even a shattered leg. I mean, I look at you, you're 76. I'm watching you dance in the videos collected for me here, and I'm thinking, how on earth do you do that?
Well, it's a lot. If you take care of yourself, you got to have some luck, too. Mm. And you have to have the best, the right friends, if you can. Mm. And the best foundation, if you're lucky enough to have a great family, as I do, and great friends, as I do, and great teachers, as I had, and these creative teams, you have to, in order to do what they ask you to do, you've got to be healthy. You've got to be there. Otherwise, they're not going to take you seriously.
I wanted to ask you something else out of the headlines, if I could. Because I'm still trying to figure out your sort of ethnic sense of yourself. I know where the entertainment business put you, but the country's changed a lot in the years you were growing up. Here's Sonia Sotomayor now on the Supreme Court, famously Puerto Rican by heritage.
Yeah.
How do you look at that? Do you look at that like as a win for the team or just a win for the country? How do you think about sort of ethnic identity and achievement these days?
Well, I think we have to be very, very happy with who we are. We have to be believe in oneself and one's heritage, very proud of that. But we are a human race. Mm-hmm. And what I have always prayed for was that the world, West Side said it itself, that the world become appreciative of each other, that each race is different and has something else to give. But as a human race itself, we are all the same. And it's exciting to see Sonia. She is. I got just a note from her the other day because I had written her a note congratulating her, and we were in the White House actually the same day. She had seen the president that morning, and I said, "Wouldn't it have been wonderful if we'd been in the same room?" Yes, we're very proud that we're Puerto Ricans, but we're human beings first, and. Yeah, and you know, you go, yeah, for the team, I don't know about the team is all of us. You know, we all have something to offer, you know.
I'm for that. That's wonderful.
And you can, you know, I've not just done Puerto Rican roles. I've played Italian. I've played Greek.
Mm-hmm,
I've played all kinds of people. And I don't think there should be any limitations. I don't think the kids should know that they're limited to anything as long as... You know, they've got the right foundation.
And maybe a little Irish. Here's Cheetah Rivera playing the part of the murderess Velma Kelly in the 1975 musical Chicago. Here she is in the number of the Cell Block Tango explaining how her husband and sister met with an unfortunate accident.
My sister Veronica and I did this double act, and my husband Charlie traveled around with us. For the last number in our act, we did these 20 acrobatic tricks in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Splits, spread eagles, flip-flops, backflips, one right after the other. Well, this one night we were in Cicero, the three of us, and we were in this hotel room boozing and having a few laughs, and we run out of ice. So I went out to get some. I come back, open the door. There's Veronica and Charlie doing number 17, the spread eagle. I was in such a state of shock, I completely blacked out. I can't remember a thing. It wasn't until later, when I was washing the blood off my hands, I even knew they were dead. They had it coming!
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 They took a foul of law!
I didn't do it!
They made you fight it like the
messy of
Giuseppe
Tartoni,
but I was wrong!
Cell Block Tango with Cheetah Rivera. Boy, do you know how to let it roll. Tom.
That's Fred M. I'm telling you.
Oh, my gosh.
Freddie and John Kander, they're so brilliant. And I was, and you know, we've lost Freddie. It's 5 years now. But John is still doing wonderful things. That's a lot of fun, isn't it?
Well, I guess they knew how to cast that role. That's all I'll say. Tom in Rockland, Massachusetts, you're on the air with Cheetah Rivera.
Cheetah, you are an inspiration. Back in 1975, when I was in college, I said, well, we better go see Chicago if we want to see Cheetah Rivera live on stage.
You had plenty of time.
You've done so much since then. And then a year ago, I saw you in Philadelphia doing A Dancer's Life.
Right.
And that was incredible. You are an inspiration.
Well, thank you so much, Tom. It's I'm very blessed, and it's fun to talk to you. I hope you've got to come see it because we'll be doing a tour, and this will also be kind of different. So you got to, if I'm in your area, please come and say hello.
Cheetah Rivera, My Broadway begins touring in January. Let me get another here from Jenny in Ipswich, Massachusetts. Jenny, you're on the air.
Hi there. It's wonderful to speak to you.
Thank you
so much. I am calling because my mother is actually Martha Wright.
Hi.
I don't know. Do you know my mother? She stepped in for Mary Martin in Sound of Music in South Pacific.
Sure, I certainly know the name.
Yeah, so it's wonderful to speak to you. I was so glad to catch the show. My mother is actually still kicking and living right by me, which is wonderful for me.
Yeah.
But I wanted to speak with you because... You know, my mom sort of gave it all up for the most part when she started to be a mom because that meant so much to her. And, you know, my question for you is I know my mother's reaction to this, but there's so many young people that I come into contact with now. I'm now 42 and I have two young children starting a little later. that especially my husband's niece recently said to me when I said, oh, you know, my kids are watching Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and some of the wonderful musicals of that era, and they love them. And she said, oh, I can't stand anything when someone suddenly breaks into song. And such a young girl, it made me so sad that she clearly doesn't get it and how wonderful it was for me growing up listening to all this wonderful music. Of course, my mother sang, it always made us cry, and it still does.
Jenny, let us, that's a great question. I wonder, Chita, what do you think about that, the way musicals are received these days?
Well, I think it's, first of all, very sad that music is not in her soul, because music is it can take you so many places. Music, even without the lyrics. So I'm very sad for her. I wish she could. She should maybe be taken to see some other shows that really are, I don't know what she saw. But I don't know. I mean, the shows are a bit different today. But I'm seeing my life come around again. It's really very funny. I mean, West Side is out again.
Mm-hmm.
Birdie is opening soon. Chicago was still running, ran longer than the original. And somebody said Zorba was coming out. I mean, my life is really kind of weird.
It must be strange to see all these revivals.
Yeah, because you kind of feel like you forget about the knees, you know. You kind of go, oh, well, I could still do that. Well, please. Your knees say, oh, no, you can't.
Well, we wonder. Did you go to see the revival of West Side Story, for example? Are you drawn to it or no?
No, thanks. I'm not drawn. No, mm-hmm. I'm not drawn. When I say I'm not drawn, what am I saying? Yes, I saw West Side. And I love John Stamos, and I really would like to see Birdie, because I'd like to see John Stamos. He loves the theater, and we need people in the theater that will really give their heart to it and be a good example for the young kids. And John will do that. He's really excited about Birdie. So I really want to see him. But these are great shows. They should be seen again, you know, so.
You've got a new album coming up, a studio album, And Now I Swing. Tell us about it, coming out next month. What's on that?
Well, Tom, I'm now with these young musicians that are really, really brilliant, and they believe in me, and they believe that that I can you know, do another form of music, and so do I. Actually, in my one-woman show, I've been making comments like I've always wanted to be like Rosemary Clooney and Tony Bennett and Mabel Mercer, because they're, you know, I've always wanted to be hip and have a trio and jazzy and, you know, croon. And I always wanted to play clubs with a trio. I think a trio is, I've always wanted to say, and now I'd like to introduce to you my trio,
right.
You know,
and
you know,
you
that
can.
Sort of, and now. Tom, I can, because my wonderful Michael Kreuter, who's the producer of my album, and he's my drummer and my conductor, he said, because I did an album in London called And Now I Sing, and so he said, you know, Chita, I think it would be great to have an album called And Now I Swing. I went, I can do that. So
Chita O'Hara, Chita Rivera,
hello,
Now I Sing, Now I Swing.
Hello. I mean, the door opened a little bit and I jumped in. So this keeps you young. It keeps you alive. It keeps you participating. It keeps you communicating. And that's what I really want to continue to do my whole life.
I'm looking here at a fellow dancer who says the thing about Chita Rivera is she dances with abandon. and I see when you're in a lineup, it's somehow you just stick out. You just stand out. Is it a physical thing or is it an emotional thing that puts you just naturally out front as that dancer?
No, it's an emotional thing. It comes from inside. You have to believe that you want to be where you are and you want to be in the moment. You mentioned that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what people need to be in their lives, in the moment. There's a position I did in in Spider-Woman that they used for a lot of publicity. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. It's completely my back. Mm-hmm. Not my face, not the front of me at all. Just the back of the human being is the same as the front. You mm-hmm. can say what you have to, a lot of things, with completely
even
you
with your face. Back.
Even with your back. So you see, every part of your body is thinking. Every part of your body is feeling. And when I saw the poster, I went, I got it, you know.
Chita Rivera's new album, And Now I Swing, will be out next month. It's been just a terrific pleasure and honor talking with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, Tom, you've made it really very, very, very nice for me. It's lovely talking to you, and I'll see you in Boston.
Hey, keep swinging.
Okay.
Chita Rivera, thank you so much for being here. Fresh winner of the Presidential Medal of Freedom. We'll go out with Kiss of the Spider-Woman, Chita Rivera. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Thank you very much for joining us.
Once you've been kissed, and a moon grows dimmer at the tide's low ebb, and your breath comes faster, and you're aching to move, but you're caught in the web of the Spider-Woman. In her velvet cape, you can run.